Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, friends. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's so great to have you here on this holiday weekend. I pray that as we gather here, that something that we say or sing or pray together connects you with God, that we hope that something that we do together this morning helps you know God, love God, and serve God, which is the mission that we're on here in this church. And as we gather this morning, I want to let you know that this morning's kind of like a standalone service before we start a new sermon series next week, which I'm really excited about, actually. We're starting a new sermon series about being a Christian in the bumper stickers that people put on their vehicles to advertise their faith, or in some cases, I'm afraid, lack thereof. So we're looking forward to that sermon series starting next week as we... Many of us, you know, will be on the road traveling different places, and you'll see all kinds of bumper stickers all throughout the space. So we encourage you to join us next week. This week, we're going to be talking about creation and how God's creation touches our faith and impacts our lives. So we hope that it's meaningful as we gather here today. There are connection cards that were placed in the bulletin, so I encourage you to take a moment, look through those to see if there are any opportunities in ministry that are on those connection cards that might be moving and meaningful to you. If you wouldn't mind taking a moment to fill those out, let us know that you're here, and then check the boxes if there's anything that's speaking to you today. In addition to that, there are yellow prayer cards in the pew back in front of you. If there's anything that we can be praying for you or alongside you about, we encourage you to take a moment and just fill that out. And we are so honored to be able to pray over those cards each and every week. And there's a group that gathers inside the family room just off the sanctuary here every Thursday, and they pray over those cards that are not marked confidential as well. So we encourage you to fill those out and let us know what we can be praying for you and alongside you about. I want to let you know about a couple of announcements. So those will be on the screen. If you haven't had a chance to sign up for our Celebration of Generosity dinner, Reverend David Bell will be here on behalf of the United Methodist Foundation. He's just going to come and bring some words of wisdom about generosity and the gift that it is to be generous. The meal will be provided for anybody who comes and anybody who signs up by the endowment committee. So we're really excited to be having this meal. We encourage you to come and just listen to Reverend Bell. And we'll also be expressing our gratitude to the extravagant generosity of our church, sort of celebrating the gifts that have made ministries possible here in our church. A variety of missions. We'll just be saying a big thank you to everyone in our church who has shared their generosity with us. The second thing I want to let you know about is on June 9th, there will be an opportunity for folks to provide feedback. There's a small group of folks who are working on a strategic plan that will define the next 2 to 3 years of ministry here at our church. So if you'd like to join us, we encourage you to be here at 5 p.m. on June 9th. There'll also be inserts in the bulletin if you prefer to write, you know, just your hopes, dreams, visions for the future of our church. You'll be able to provide written forms and feedback. And then if you'd like to join us online, June 23rd at 5 p.m., if you happen to be at Whitmore Lake next Sunday, we'll be doing a listening session there as well. So if you'd like to join us for that, we encourage you to come to one of those events or just provide some written feedback so that we can incorporate that into the strategic plan for our church going forward. Finally, I'm going to be offering a class. It's going to be on a book called Unclobber, and it's a book that will do a deep dive into some of the passages that historically have been used to justify the church's traditional stance on human sexuality. And this book sort of unpacks some of those scripture passages and asks some good questions about how we've read those passages historically and how we might read them differently by diving into the Greek and Hebrew in which those passages were written. So if you're interested in learning more about that, it's 3 weeks, Sundays at 7 p.m., starting June 9th and 16th and 23rd. So if you're interested in joining us for one or multiple of those classes, you can come with your questions, and we'll have some good discussions about that during that time. And with that, I encourage you to stand as you're able and join us in our first song, song 139, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Let us stand and sing unto the Lord.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, we lift up our praises to you, the God of creation and Lord of all. Help us to appreciate both the sunrise and the sunset, the work and the rest you have given us. All that we have comes from you. Give us a heart for all your creation, so that we may live and serve in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is Psalms 104, verses 1 through 25. God, the Creator and Provider, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they flee. At the sound of your thunder, they take to flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place where you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. The asses quench their thirst. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and plants for the people to cultivate, to bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine and bread to strengthen the human heart. The trees of the field are watered abundantly. The cedars of Lebanon that he planted, in them the birds build their nest. The stork has its home in the fir tree. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are refuge for the conies. You have made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the animals of the forest come creeping out. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. People go out to work and to their labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is a sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thanks so much, Paula, for reading. Actually, that wasn't even the whole Psalm 104. So I gave you a break on about 11 verses there, but thank you so much for covering 25. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who created all things. Amen. Well, I have to tell you, today is Pastor Lindsay and I's 12th wedding anniversary, and so we were able to go out for dinner last night, and we were reminiscing about some of the things that had happened around our wedding weekend 12 years ago. We met in seminary and sort of fell in love while we were going to school to become pastors, which is the place where all great romance stories begin, in seminary. And so we met there and got married, and my grandfather was the one who officiated the wedding. And we were reminiscing about how our nephew, actually, who was like 3 or 4 at the time, young, impressionable, you know, excited to be there in this kind of novel place. And so his name is, Anyway, his name is Connor, and he was getting ready to run into the bathroom to maybe like straighten out his bow tie or whatever. And my grandfather was coming out of the bathroom with his white robe, his white clergy robe on. And Connor looks at his dad. He leans up to him, and he looks at my grandfather, and he looks at his dad, and he goes, "Dad, is that God?" Because my grandfather was wearing this white clergy robe, and he came out of the bathroom, and he, you know, like had his microphone on and was all set to deliver the wedding message and to marry Lindsay and myself, and that was his impression, right? A lot of us hold on to this image that God is maybe this old sort of guy, you know. We imagine that to be what God looks like. And in this particular psalm, the psalmist is exploring, like, what are the characteristics that define God? And in the midst of Psalm 104, it talks about God being clothed, having these garments of honor and majesty, right? Like, if you close your eyes even now and you imagine what God might look like, maybe you have an image that you hold on to in your life of what God's appearance would look like. What is God's manifestation? And the psalmist is trying to wrestle with that. What would God look like to you? Well, in this particular passage, it says that God isn't wearing regular clothing. He's wrapped in light. He's beaming or emanating light. This beauty is sort of coming out from God's a physical appearance that is almost undescribable. This psalmist has a hard time defining exactly what God would look like if you were looking God in the face. And so they describe the existence of God, right, as like someone riding on a chariot, and the clouds are sort of providing like the locomotion for a chariot through the sky. They describe God as the one who sets the sun's timing to rise and to set, the one who creates a place for birds to nest in the springtime, a place where almost everything that has life is provided for. That's the way that the psalmist tries to describe God in the midst of creation, the one who provides water for all of creation who is thirsty, the one who provides bread for hungry people. In this 25-verse passage that we read this morning, there are a whole bunch of descriptions of who God is and how God looks in the world. And you know, it's absolutely beautiful. God is a creator, a sustainer, a redeemer, a transformer. God is the source of safety, serenity, a place where one has their home, a place that orders everything, of one who provides serenity for all of creation. There was an African-American poet named James Wendell Thompson who was alive in 1871 through 1938, and he wrote this beautiful poem about God the Creator. "As for the eye of God can see, darkness covered everything, darker than 100 midnights, down to the cypress swamp. And then God smiled, and the light broke. The darkness rolled up on one side, and light stood up on the other. And God said, 'That's good.'" All it took was God's smile for all of a sudden creation to be birthed into the world. All it took was a single moment of creation, and all of a sudden there were birds and fish and trees and light and darkness and water and earth and light and darkness and the moon and the sun. And that was God's beautiful act of creation. People have been wrestling ever since with what makes creation so good. And I have to tell you, in my life, and I was just actually talking with Harry about this, in my life, my dad was a teacher, and in the summer times, we get to about August, and baseball season would end, and we would load up our 1968 StarCraft camper, which was really quite a see in the 90s, a sight to see in the 90s, pulling into campgrounds all across the United States, national park after national park. And if you can imagine this, right, you'd pull in next to all these beautiful RVs, and there we were in our pop-up camper, and I still remember the sound of cranking up that pop-up camper. Click, 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 and people would just, like, stop what they were doing everywhere in the campground, like, who are these people pulling in? But nevertheless, that pop-up camper let me visit the Rocky Mountains, They allowed us to drive through Death Valley when the air conditioner broke down and my sister was sitting in the front row seat. And in that day, like, there weren't minivans with windows in the back, so we were just dying back there, praying that water would come when our air conditioner broke down. It allowed me to visit places like the sequoias, and you stand in the front of a tree that's so tall that you can barely see the tops of it. It allowed us to see the Grand Tetons and watch Old Faithful bubble up Yellowstone and what we've now come to understand as a supervolcano existing just below the surface of the earth. It allowed us to go down to Florida to walk through all of the swamplands and the Everglades to be able to feed alligators marshmallows off the back of a ship and watch them come by and hunt, which is something that I really hope they don't do anymore. Especially if there's an alligator at Kensington Metro Park. I remember there were trips to the Great Mammoth Caves, and I remember what it was like when somebody flipped out the lights and you couldn't even see. This is before cell phones were really a thing. You could barely even see your hand right in front of your face. We've been able to take trips all across the United States to see Mesa Verde, to see places that Native American burial grounds that shaped who I am today, all of these beautiful places throughout creation. And I'm thankful for those places that when you're standing there, you have a hard time not seeing the fingerprint of a creator. One of my favorite memories was at Glacier National Park, and we were walking, as I recall it, and down this pathway, and there was like a 1,000-foot cliff face that was going up to the sky, and then there was a 1,000-foot cliff down, and you basically walk down this narrow 3 to 6 foot path, and my dad and I were walking, we were hiking down this trail, and all of a sudden a mountain goat starts walking towards us, and I remember standing as closely and as thinly as I possibly could to the cliff as the mountain goat just unassumedly walked right past us on the other side. Do you have those moments in creation? Can you close your eyes and imagine yourself perhaps snorkeling on some reef and looking out and seeing a barracuda that scares you as you wonder whether or not you're going to lose a limb? Do you see little clownfish swimming between the sea anemones and being able to experience the beauty of being out in the wonderful sun? Maybe you've been up to, now I can't think of it. What is the place in northern Michigan? The Great Sand Dunes? Is that what it's called? Sleeping Bear Dunes. Maybe you have memories of climbing the dunes and wondering how it is that you could go up and down 15 times or whatever it is and still not be at the lakefront. There are so many places, at least in my life, that I feel like I've been where I feel like the veil between heaven and earth is thin, where you feel like you could almost reach out and touch God's hand. You remember that image that Michelangelo painted in the Sistine Chapel where it feels like God and humanity is touching? For me, that's always been a place in nature. I remember my dad breaking out a telescope. It was a 10-inch Meade scope that at this time was so exciting because it would track the stars as they moved across the night sky. And we had decided to go out in a national park. I can't remember which one it is. And the park ranger came out to us and said, "Just so you know, we've been hearing grizzly bears move throughout this area." And my dad and I were watching the stars, and all of a sudden we heard a twig break out in the forest, and you wouldn't believe how quickly we made it from the telescope to the vehicle. Have you been to Custer State Park and you roll down your window and all of a sudden the bison herd comes through where your car is parked and you're able to look out your window eye to eye with one of the largest mammals on the planet these days, to look into the eye of a bison? Have you been able to travel the world and see a tiger somewhere in Asia, or perhaps you've seen lions on the prairies of Africa? All of these natural things in creation are opportunities to remind us of God's creative power. I hope as you move into the summer months that you're able to find some sign of God's creative handiwork out in the world. Maybe it's this time of year that the hummingbirds come and visit your feeders and you look out your window and you see them flapping their wings so incredibly quickly that you can't even make out their wings and it's like they're just floating there in the sky. Maybe it's a rainbow that comes after a storm. Perhaps it's looking out and seeing all of the wonderful ants and insects crawling all over the ground, all of this flurry of activity that can go completely unnoticed if you don't take the time to pay attention. The psalmist is amazed at how incredible creation is, and there is barely even a mention of human activity in Psalm 104, which makes it distinctive from almost all of the other psalms. It's almost as if in this particular psalm, it says, creation was absolutely fine before humans ever made it onto the scene. And it was. It's like those hundreds of National Geographic films that I've watched where it's like, look how beautiful this animal is. It's wonderful and it's talented and it's creative. And then humans came along and darn near put that thing to extinction. But if not for these conservation efforts, perhaps this animal would no longer be in existence. This psalmist says that caring for creation is our responsibility, not in some political, ideological agenda piece, but because God made it. I remember one of the first times that we had a birthday for one of our kids. I won't tell you which one it is because I'm kind of throwing them under the bus in this moment. And I remember one of the first times we gave them a gift and they looked at it and they were like, I don't want that. And they threw it off to the side. And I think about God creating the heavens and the earth, the tall redwood trees, the birds chirping in the air, the water that we'll be gathering around down at Whitmore Lake at 11 o'clock, and essentially Him turning over this gift to us. And can you imagine how God would feel giving us this gift of creation with all of these animals and all of these beautiful places that we've turned into national parks? What it would be like for God to watch us as we just say, huh, I don't want it. In our world today, there are so many beautiful places. And if you're like me, when you visit them and you put your eyes upon them, there's something about them that transforms the human heart. It's almost like we're able to feel or touch God's very presence while we're there. And it's my hope that in hundreds of years, there will be still people rolling into the national parks, whatever they might look like or wherever they might be, getting out of their 2,178 StarCraft camper, or whatever that looks like at that particular time. And there are folks who get out at that particular moment and they go out and see an elk or a bison or a grizzly bear or whatever animals might inhabit that space at that time. And they, like I did when I was a kid, are able to look out and say, what a creative, inspirational, beautiful God is this that set the earth on its foundation, that springs forth life from the waters, that provides air for us to breathe, that provides land for us to inhabit and be inspired by, that raised the mountains up from the ground, that created places for birds to nest, that created feeding grounds for fish to come and eat. To me, this is God's gift to us. When somebody tells me that they're struggling in their faith, one of the questions I ask is, when's the last time you've helped somebody else? Because in service, we find ourselves connecting to God. Another question I ask is, when's the last time you've been outside? because God's fingerprints are all over creation. I hope that over this holiday weekend you see something out there in the world that takes you to another place. All God did was smile, and everything was created. Thanks be to God for the fish and the birds and the animals of the land and the tall trees and the mountains and the water and everything else that sprang forth in creation. No, we don't worship creation. Yes, we worship God. But when God said, "This is my gift for you and it's good," I hope that we're able to receive it, care for it, nurture it, so that people for thousands, millions, billions of years, who knows, will be able to have those same holy experiences that I hope you've had somewhere in your life. Amen.
Ready? God is good. All the time. Amen. I was listening to John talk and talked about the fact that we don't know what God looks like. It reminded me of a story. A young girl was in Sunday school. She's sitting there and she's drawing a picture, and the Sunday school teacher come up to her and says, "What are you drawing?" She says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." She says, "Oh, really? Nobody knows what God looks like." She says, "Well, they will in a minute." Well, we have no prayer quotes today, but please, during a prayer, take time and say a small prayer for all the people who have received quotes before, and just kind of keep them all. Extra prayers never hurt. We do have some altar flowers, and those are put out to celebrate the birthday of Ginger Van Blaricum. So, now will you join me in an attitude of prayer? Glorious God of goodness and mercy, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. You are our help and strength in all the times of our lives. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We feel your love. We keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. Encourage our friends, our family, our neighbors, that they may find the ability to love as you do, to care for each other, and to show your love to those that need it. Reveal your goodness to all who cannot attend today. Strengthen and sustain them. Teach us how we can best support and encourage them to show them your love. Encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. Help them understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. That you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. As we remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms we enjoy every day, we think of how they have followed in the footsteps of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We also remember the family and friends of those that have lost loved ones protecting our freedoms, and we ask for your unique blessings to fill their homes. And we pray for your peace, your provision, and strength that will fill their lives. Encourage and assist all who suffer the ravages of storms, earthquakes, natural and man-made disasters. Relieve the needs of those who endure famine and war. Establish peace in the world. Cause anger and hostility to give way to reconciliation. Unite your church so that we may be an example of harmony and justice in a world torn by conflict. Reveal your will to all people. Fill us with the courage to live out your righteousness as a sign of your goodness. O God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all you give us, lest we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you as we offer to you our concerns and petitions, as well as our praises of you in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And don't forget, God loves you, and there ain't a darn thing you can do about it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. As we come to a time in the service where we have an opportunity to respond to God's good work in our lives, the ushers will be coming forward in just a moment to receive this morning's offering. I just wanted to say a word of gratitude to folks who helped sponsor kids to go to camp this particular summer. A couple weeks ago, there was a display out in the community room with some envelopes, and some of you all took those envelopes home and then filled them with resources that'll help send our students to camp this summer. And it's my hope, it's my prayer that when they're out there in creation, sitting around a campfire, singing the songs of our faith as they're growing in their faith, that being out in creation would be the exact same sort of formational experiences that I remember having as a kid, going around to the national parks that I share with you today, and you all made that possible. So thank you so much for your incredible generosity. If this is your first Sunday with us, please feel no obligation to give. Your presence in and of itself is a gift to us. We invite you to take a moment to fill out that connection card. You can put it in the plate as it goes by. And for those of you for whom this is your spiritual home, we invite you to give generously so that the ministries of our church can continue to be a blessing to folks in our community and to the world. Will the ushers please come forward and help us receive this morning's offering? Amen. Invite Joe Cunningham to come forward. He's going to be sharing with us a mission moment while the ushers are collecting the offering about our Hungry Ministry, which Joe and Paula started together to help feed folks in our community. Let us take a moment and please welcome Joe as he comes forward to share.
Thank you, John. First off, I'd like to say thank you to all the veterans that are here today for your service, and I'm so glad that our country honors those who sacrificed all so we could be here. So I hope at this point everybody knows about the Hungry Program. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, and I'm going to tell you about some of the results for it. So if you are a person that learned about this program and you wanted to go get a restaurant meal but you couldn't afford to do that, you can go up here to the corner of Grand River and 23, and you can go in the Grecian Island. And you'll see this sign here, and you'll see these tickets. And you can go and order a cheeseburger or chicken nuggets or whatever that you want that costs less than $10. And via the honor system, we will reimburse the restaurant for that meal. So it's been very rewarding. The program started in March of 2023. So I just want to briefly tell you about some of the things that's come from it. So as of May the 7th of this year, we had given 202 meals in this community. And the last time I paid was on the May the 7th, and I paid for 7 meals. And the encouraging thing about that, 4 of those 7 meals were kids' meals. So if you could imagine a child that would just like to have a cheeseburger or a hot dog, and they were able to come in there, and we provided that for them. So today we've spent $11.38 for those 202 meals, and we provide the servers at the restaurant with a 15% tip, and they do a good job of administering the program. So in total, we've spent $1,688.34 in the last 14 or 15 months. And I'm pleased to say that in the Hungry account right now, there's about $1,000 to go ahead and pay for future meals. So thanks for your support. Well, if you'd like to give to Hungry at some point, you can just note that on your offering, your check, or the envelope, and you can just note Hungry, and it will go into a separate account for that. And again, thanks for all your support.
Let us pray. Lord of all creation, we bring our offerings to the ministry of your church today. Bless them and help us to discern how to use them for the building of a community of disciples for you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
On this beautiful day, I pray that as you celebrate this holiday weekend, that you'd find your way outside, and perhaps in those quiet moments, you'd have an opportunity to remember all those who have passed in the surrounded by the great saints of light. I hope that you'll be able to reflect on the gift of life itself, and I hope that you'll find yourself connecting with whatever your image is of the Creator. I hope that you're able to commune with that divine presence over the midst of this holiday weekend as you go out from this world. If you're choosing to join us down at our picnic down at Whitmore Lake after this service, we invite you to drive down there and be careful and safe as you enter into that beautiful campus of our church. As you depart from this place, I pray you would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.